The message, as Paul already shared, is going to be on forgiveness. And the big idea on it is to forgive everyone, every time, all the time. I'm going to say that again. Forgive everyone, every time, all the time. One thing, as I was praying over this message today, actually, it really got me to remember that means ourselves, too. There's times that we pile it on ourselves, and we don't forgive ourselves. We can be our hardest critics sometimes. We can really hurt ourselves from releasing from things that we've done. And anyway, God just really shared and put it on my heart to share that with you, because I just think that's really near and dear to people that I've been talking to. And the truth is, the reason why I wanted to talk about forgiveness is that as I've been talking to people, as I've been sharing with people, doing life with people, I visually see them walking around with wounds, you know, not literally, but emotionally. I see them walking around and carrying around these wounds. And it really saddens me, because they don't get free from it. And it's happening over and over and over again. And a lot of it comes down to when they have been hurt, they've been wronged, or things have happened, and they keep being a victim to the situation. And yet, I watch them, and people will medicate themselves. They will try to numb the pain. Others will distract themselves with things. They get so busy so that hopefully the pain that they're dealing with won't come up, because they're just so busy. Others will shop medicate, as I use the term. They'll go buy stuff because it makes you feel better when you buy something. Of course, that doesn't last very long. They'll put on designer clothing. They'll look in the mirror and they feel like, oh, I look nicer. I feel nicer. But the clothes that we're putting on doesn't heal the wounds that are underneath those clothes. And so I wanted to talk about really what it is that they're carrying around, that they can take the step to heal. Instead of putting this itty-bitty little Band-Aid on these emotional wounds that they're carrying around, you can actually allow the one that actually is the great healer to heal these things in our lives, and we can have more joy back in our life. We can live free from these chains of these wounds that we've had. One of the stories that I ran into that I read not that long ago that really has helped me think about, put things in perspective, was a lady named Ava Kaur. Ava Kaur was a twin, and she was Jewish, and she was taken to Auschwitz. And she was split from her family, and she, being a twin, they found them the perfect subjects to do experiments on. And I'm not going to go into the things that they did to her, but at one point, the doctor came in, and she had red sores on herself, and he looked at her medical records and said, "It's too bad, she's so young. I give her 2 weeks to live." The doctor who was in charge of those experiments was Dr. Joseph Mengele. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but he was also nicknamed the Angel of Death of Auschwitz. She survived. And she, I can't imagine, has had to carry a lot of weight, a lot of wounds from that time. And in 1993, there was a doctor Hans Munch, who actually agreed to meet with AVACORE, and he was a doctor, one of the doctors out at Auschwitz. And he had been acquitted of any war crimes in 1947, and they interviewed Dr. Hans Munch and AVACORE together at this doctor's house. I can't imagine what that must have been like to sit next to one of the doctors there. And after she met and did the interview, she went home and it really just weighed down on her heart about this man. He refused when he became a doctor under the Nazis to be a part of the doctors who would select who would live and who wouldn't, who would get experimented on or anything like that. He refused to do the things that would get people killed. So he, in the end, was a clerk that just wrote down information. And she felt bad because she could see the weight that was that he was carrying, knowing that he was a part of so much evil that had gone on. So she's like, I should help this guy. I should help forgive him. She decided to write him a letter of forgiveness. And so she wrote that letter to forgive him. And she mailed it off. And it had a profound effect on her. She said she felt so much more free. And she decided that she needed to take a step further. And she needed to declare an amnesty to all the Nazis that had anything to do with Auschwitz, with her family and all of it. So she met with Dr. Hans Munch again later, and they met at the gas chambers at Auschwitz in 1995. And that's where she declared that amnesty, back at the very place where she lost her family and was done experiments on her. I run into children of people who can't forgive their parents, spouses that can't forgive their husbands and wives, siblings that can't forgive each other, co-workers, or people who can't forgive their bosses. And they keep carrying these wounds around. And it really tears me up to see people in so much pain. And knowing that there's an answer, a cure to that with our Lord and Savior. So, I want to talk about forgiveness. And the first thing I want to talk about when we talk about forgiveness is to remember that we all need forgiveness. It really stems, if you don't realize that we need forgiveness, how are you going to know that you need to forgive others? You know, Paul had mentioned about thinking about who he's had to really forgive. And my mother would say that she forgets all these things, bad things that happened, because God's just blessing her to erase her memory of bad things so she can remember the good. And I have to chalk that up to Paul for that. Even being far younger than my mom, that he just has blessed Paul to kind of erase things, because I can tell you that people popped in my mind when you said that. And I was like, oh, I guess he forgot about this or that. It's a blessing. But if you know where you came from or how bad you were and that Jesus forgave us and that we all need forgiving, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, this will keep us humble. This will help us to remember that we need to forgive everyone, all the time, every time. I think about my wonderful wife who forgives me of things all day long, every day, where I make mistakes so much. And And I need a lot of forgiveness daily. My children too. I ask them for forgiveness. The other night, my youngest came up, not youngest daughter came up, and she was crying, and I told her that I would tell mom to go in and check on her and tuck her in to bed, and I forgot to do it. And that was at 9-something, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, she came up crying because mom didn't go and tuck her in. And I said, honey, that's all me. That was my fault. I didn't tell mom. We need forgiveness all the time. You know, if we don't realize that without Christ, that we would be just as bad as the people on the news. You know, I don't like to watch the news because there's so much bad stuff on it. I mean, really, there's just so many bad things that continue to be up on the news. And but the truth is that we would be that bad. I know I would. If I didn't have Christ. There was a movie, an old movie. Older movie. It's not a super old movie. Older movie. Called Trading Places. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It has Eddie Murphy on it. And he's a beggar on the street. And he trades places with a banker. A very young, successful banker. He's up and coming. And these two older men at the bank do a wager. And said, I bet that we can make this homeless guy successful and he can just do as good as, I think his name was Mortimer in the movie. And so they said, it's a deal, it's a bet. And they bet $1 that the guy would be as good or not. And so they switched places, and the guy became important at the bank and the other guy basically got kicked out of everything he knew, everything he owned. They shut down his bank accounts and everything. And the homeless guy became very successful at the banking, at the bank. And the guy at the bank ended up in jail. It reminds me that without Christ, at any point in time, we can switch roles with the people out there. So I need forgiveness for the things that I've done. Next, forgiveness is a prerequisite of our own forgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you don't forgive others, then Christ will not forgive your sins. Wow. And as much as we've done, and since we've all need forgiveness, and it's that forgiveness we need from Christ so that we can be saved, have eternal life, then it's really important that we're forgiving people. We're called to forgive people. That's our duty to do that. In the parable that Paul read, Jesus says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, Matthew 18:35. This was a king that threw his servant into jail because he didn't forgive the debt. It is direct correlation to Christ forgiving us. The third, we are to forgive those who don't seek it, don't ask for it, and don't deserve it. I'm going to say that again. We are to forgive those who don't seek it, don't ask for it, and don't deserve it. And that is tough. That is downright tough. Because when people wrong us, sometimes they have an attitude like, they don't care that they wronged us. And we get even more infuriated. So you don't care. It's almost intentional. Maybe it is intentional. But we are to forgive. Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. So by not sitting back and just saying, hey, they wronged me, they need to come and ask for my forgiveness. No, we need to go and try to make peace and seek out that brother or sister and to say, hey, this is how you wronged me, but I forgive you. And then on top of it, on top of having the freedom from not being weighed down by that wound, you actually bless that individual. You bless them because if they listen to you, you have won them over. You have gained a stronger relationship. I can tell you this, there are times where I will wrong somebody and I have no idea. And if I wrong you, please come and tell me, because I'd rather say, you know what? I was wrong. Please forgive me, than for you to sit there hurt and not bring it up to me. I would far rather for us to mend that and become stronger. It's really important. We can't just put it on the person that wronged us to say, hey, it's okay. They need to come in. I can be mad over here. They need to come to me. The Bible says that's not okay. And I hear too many people that stand their ground that way. They just say, no, that person wronged me. They should come, and they should come and talk to me about it. But you know who's the one that ends up suffering at the end? The person with the wound. When I wrong you and I don't know it, I'm not sitting there hurt by it or emotionally damaged by it because I didn't even know what happened. And the worst part is that I possibly lose that relationship with you because you will start getting distant. Instead, on top of that, you stay injured. And you suffer and become bitter. And bitterness is a sin. It's not a sin to get wounded, but to sit in bitterness is. Acts 7:59-60. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was seeking out to forgive them, and they didn't deserve it. They didn't ask for it, but he was seeking out forgiveness for them through Christ, to the Lord. What an example. Number four, we are to forgive every time, all the time. Matthew 18:21-22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus wasn't really saying, hey, keep the tally and see if you can get up to that 77. He was making a point that 77 is so much more. So much more. You got to continue to keep forgiving. You know, back to the parable of that Paul read. I'm a numbers guy. I do financing. And one of the things that I really wanted to know was, how much debt was really forgiven between these two? I mean, we don't deal in talents and denarii. We don't know what that really is. So So it doesn't really relate to us. So I want to just break it down a little bit for you. The magnitude of this forgiveness. So the king forgave 10,000 talents. A talent was if you were a farmhand earning wages, they say roughly 20 years to earn one talent. 20 years to earn one talent. So if you do the math, and I just ballparked it at if you said 100 years was a lifetime, it would take 2,000 lifetimes for an individual to make enough money to pay back 10,000 talents. 2,000 lifetimes, and that's if you can guarantee you lived 100 years each time. That is astronomically enormous, and we basically, Jesus is saying is you can't ever make enough money to pay that back. The servant who wouldn't forgive the debt of the other servant, 100 denarii, that back in that time was worth about, they say about $3. Now, of course, inflation, everything like that, I wanted to know what it was today. And to this day, that would be worth about $71,000. So it's not like a little bit of dollars. But if you compare it to the 10,000 talents, that one's just about $3 billion would be today spending. Just say about $3 billion. So the truth is that back then, the 10,000 talents was, they say, is about 1.4 million, but back at that time. And just because I'm a numbers guy and I like it, but the thing I want you to focus on and realize is it was a number that back in that time and even today that people do have that kind of debt and they can pay it off. The other debt was unimaginably large, that you just couldn't fathom paying that back. And yet he said, give me more time. He begged, said he would pay it all back. And the king knew he could never pay that back. So he didn't say, I'll give you more time. He forgave it. That is our Christ. That is our Lord. He didn't say, oh, I'll give you more time to pay back your debt for your sin. He said, I forgive. Give it, because it is too much for you to pay back. Number five, forgiveness is followed up by love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I know that there are people here that have gone through horrific things. And I was meeting with an individual not that long ago, and we were just talking about things that have happened, and I had mentioned something that happened to me when I was in the sixth grade, and I shared it with Pastor Paul the other day, and you know, I don't get emotional thinking about it, but I would get very emotional if that happened to my child. I'd probably get really furious. And the thing is that we cannot let those wounds define our lives, that just hold us down. We have to get past it, but we have to go in love. One of the amazing things that I've heard is that if you really have somebody that you are having a tough time with, that you need to forgive, pray for them. See if there's a way to serve them and love them. It is hard, maybe impossible, I don't know, but very, very hard to harbor ill will to those you actively serve, seek to serve, and love and pray for. It is so difficult when you go into the throne room and you say, Lord, I pray for this individual. I pray that you would help them. Ava Kaur chose not to walk around as a victim. She chose not to let bitterness control her life. There's not a person that would go up to Ava and blame her if she did hold a grudge. I wouldn't. But she chose not to. She even stated that she included the angel of death of Auschwitz in that forgiveness. She chose to be free of the weight of that anger, the bitterness. She didn't want to walk around with those wounds. And as big as hers were, Christ has taken on so much and been wronged by all of us, our sins. He took it all on and has forgiven us. So my question to you before we do communion, and I want you to ponder this week, is will you choose to forgive? And who do you need to forgive today? Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for loving us so much that it doesn't matter how much we've sinned or what we've done, you forgive us. You love us. But you call us to forgive others, Lord. And you don't do it just because you want us to do it. You want us to forgive so we can be free of that bitterness and that anger, so that we can be full of joy. Father, I pray that if there's any forgiveness that is needed to be given in the people in this church that are here today, that you would put it upon their heart to help free them. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.